The official podcast of The Leaky Cauldron.
The Leaky Cauldron.
Do you hear that,
Ern?
The Leaky Cauldron.
Just go! You're wasting time!
Welcome to Pottercast, your number one source for news, theories, discussion and interviews with people from the Potter books and films. I know a small amount myself, having written the books. My name is J.K. Rowling. I am now happy to introduce your hosts, Melissa, John and Sue.
And back!
Recording this show way too early in the morning. It is podcast number 207.
Yep.
Hey, I got it right. I didn't even ask you guys. Welcome. This is Melissa again. I'm here with John, Steve, and Brack. And we have another week of Harry Potter discussions and punditry and fooling around. And
no, we don't have punditry.
Well,
no.
We can be. We don't. We might not have Potter pundits, but we
can't have
punditry.
Have it every week.
Aren't we?
Anyway. I guess we're, I don't know what we're called after all these years.
Do we count?
Come on!
I guess. I mean, the pundits on TV aren't always brilliant, so they're still pundits. So there we go.
Thanks, John.
Yes.
We're all welcome.
Nice of you. Okay.
Thanks for sharing, dude. Appreciate it.
All right, this week we have a bit by bit where we talk about chapter, what are we on, 22? Are we done with this book yet?
I don't know.
No.
We need to be done with it pretty soon.
We have another...
We should go book by book.
Harry Wynn.
Harry Wynn.
Yay! Harry Lou.
He dies and he comes back.
Yay!
And then...
book by book. That'd be funny. Okay. You know what we should do? We should go back to the beginning after we finish 7.
That's what I think. Sorcerer's Stone, chapter by chapter.
Mm-hmm. I wanted to do one of those read the things that you did last year for the anniversary. I want to do a read along somewhere.
Uh-huh.
Oh, that's fun.
And what a bum fail.
Blah, 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 blah. Oh, funny, I didn't even.
Sirius is there.
I didn't even think of that.
I was just hiding!
No!
I'm not like Gandalf, I won't come back.
Okay, shall we get on with it, people?
Yes.
All these fun things, sure.
And now we turn to regular contributor for an update on how the new Wizarding Order is affecting the Muggle world.
What's happening in the news, Suze?
Oh, well, we have some good news. First, for our friend Rupert Grint. Yes, we love Rupert! His new movie that he's doing.
No, I don't. I've decided
Who?
That I don't.
Oh,
after
you
all
don't?
These years, I'm done. Are you kidding me?
I've been on the fence for all these years.
Yeah.
I've decided that,
The only reason I tolerate him is because we have the same birthday.
Oh.
We love Rupert. Okay, what's happening with
Yes,
Rupert?
It is the power of the fan has come through. He made a new movie called Cherry Bomb, which is not a child-friendly film, but it's nonetheless it's a new mature film. And it was they were seeking to get a distributor. Well, they put fans set up a Facebook page. They lobbied everywhere they could get, and it came through. They now have a distributor for the movie now, and it's not. It was an amazing turnout by Rupert Grint fans, and Rupert said he was delighted by the huge support the film has already received, and so grateful to his fans in particular who have traveled the world to support the film at festivals and preview screening. This is a proof positive that fans can change things. Awesome.
What's it about?
Yeah, tell us what it's about, Sue.
It is a...
Can we cue up some like slow music to go underneath?
No, it's just it's not a coming of age. It's about two young men, who kind of have a thing for a young woman and their adventures. And it is a mature themed film. There is violence and there is some sexual activity and there is some drug taking. And but there's a good cast in it. James Nesbitt is in it, and he's a really good actor. I believe Bill Nighy might be in it, but don't quote me on that one. But I think this
Bill Nighy, the Science Guy.
Yes. No, not really.
Oh,
you know,
I was like,
so
what?
Let me get this
straight. I had the description. Wait. Cherry Bomb follows teenagers Luke, Malachi, and Michelle as they embark on a wild weekend of drink, drugs, shoplifting, and stealing cars.
Nice.
So it starts out as a game turned deadly serious when the three discover they can't get off the wild ride they've set in motion.
Oh, snap.
So let me get this straight. You have Rupert,
mm-hmm.
and then he has a good guy friend and a good girlfriend, mm-hmm. and they go off on an adventure together.
Yeah,
pretty much.
And then they decide that they're all in love with each other and act on it.
So it's Harry Potter plus Itumama Tambien.
Yes. It's like, thank you, Melissa.
It's like everything you wanted those camping scenes to be here in Cherry Bomb. Go see it.
No.
No. And I'm not even going there. That's what fan fiction is for. Go do them.
No. No. Don't go do that fan fiction. Why do people think that's why you write fan fiction? Go.
Pottercast condones fan fiction smut.
Well, I don't know. I'm trying to... I don't. How do you ignore him? I don't know. It's so hard.
Just
think
then it gets... It shows up in our inboxes.
It's true.
I'm cool if you write the fan fiction and you enjoy it. But I don't want
to
read it.
Forward those to me.
Okay. Well, you know what? We'll forward the next bit of news. This is because this one made me. It's possible, but Dan Radcliffe, according to Variety, is going to be doing possibly being in a musical revival of How to Succeed in Business. And I would laugh.
That show for real?
I would laugh, but it's Variety. They don't mess around.
Right.
Like, this one might have some weight.
And I can't.
What would he be?
I bet he could sing.
Yeah, that'd be fun. I thought you were going to say, like, Shrek the Musical or something. That'd be ridiculous.
You know, I don't know. I can't imagine them wanting to do it because it was just, the musical was just had an official, like, revival or whatever they officially call it on Broadway with Matthew Broderick, and he did very well in that, and so I don't know if Dan will be able to...
Oh, how do you follow Matthew Broderick?
Isn't it just a read-through, though?
It's
not like a Broadway full-scale production.
Well, they're hoping it will become a production is the thing.
Right.
That they're trying to get the cast and get this off the ground with Dan, so...
Yeah, well, but a lot of times...
Something.
Yeah, mm-hmm. A lot of times when you make a read-through, it doesn't go, you
What's
know,
a read-through?
That much further. A read-through? You just sit around a table and read the script and sit a little bit.
I mean, it's not anything for people to see.
No.
Oh, okay. Right.
I mean, for producers and backers and stuff.
Like, a read-through is, like,
sense.
This really bohemian, like, in the round, like, really, like, go through a read-through and it's, like, small and, like, picked up by...
I went to a couple of shady read-throughs when I was just out of college and doing theater reviews. Usually, when you don't have somebody like Dan Radcliffe involved, usually it's like it's on the fifth floor of a walk-up, and there's four chairs in the audience, and you're hearing this just completely awful version of a play that a year later comes out as a really good version of a play. But it's a really important way to work through the kinks of any production.
Huh. I mean, I guess it makes sense that looking forward to this. Dan did get a lot of people to come to the theater that probably otherwise wouldn't have, you know.
Yes, but there are no naked scenes in How to Succeed in Business.
Well, that's what I was going to say. That could be all confused. They're like, why is this close to Lund?
I was just telling you a joke because I knew you were going to do it.
Just get it out of the way.
Just knock it off the shelf.
Like, wait a minute.
How we roll
this
on Pottercast. Those naked jokes right out of the way.
It had to be said. It was like going to be the elephant in the room if nobody said it.
Yeah. What kind of play is this? Everybody's, you know, they're clothed.
I think people would still come to see Dan, especially if he sang.
That's true, yeah.
You know, if he's willing to put himself up there being naked,
anything?
Then he gets willing to put himself out there singing, whether it's bad or good or whatever. I don't
sure.
know.
Sure. I mean, I would be concerned about the theme of that show if it's about succeeding in business and you don't have clothes on.
Not even.
don't know what kind of message that's supposed to send.
The full title is How to Succeed in Business Without Really Trying. So that would be a whole different play, John.
And then they put like
how
a little.
Succeed in business.
They put a little
how
star by trying, but then like
clothes.
By trying we actually mean clothes.
Yeah.
How to succeed in business
that's
without really
title.
Trying or without clothes. Please, news item number four. Please.
Okay.
Please.
This is one of the cool. I love. This is like one of my favorite headlines to write. The Dark Lord Ascends. He finds his back on set filming Harry Potter and the Deathly Hallows.
Dead yet?
That's exciting.
Well, thank God he's back on set. I'd be worried if he wasn't.
I know, but it was just thrilling to know for a fact that he is back. They are filming those scenes right now, and I believe they're doing the Malfoy Manor because Helen McCrory just gave an interview as well, and they were talking about the stuff that they're filming, and she said that they're letting out all the stops with this, and you know, Alan Rickman's around, and to open, imagine, they're going to open that movie with the murder of Charity Burbage, and I just,
Chris Rankin's been tweeting.
Pregnant, like one of his actresses?
Narcissa was pregnant when she was originally going to play Bellatrix, remember?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. But she's probably since had the baby, right?
Yes.
Yeah,
so
okay.
Yes,
it's been a couple years.
Yeah, and Chris Rankin also, if you follow, he has his own tweet Twitter, and he's also gave an update too that said they are doing a week of night shoots at the end of the month in October.
Must be the battle, because that's when Percy shows up, right? So
yep.
unless they have to bring him in earlier to like remind everybody who Percy is.
Yeah,
that's true. Fair. Like they haven't they haven't given him screen time since you know.
He
was in the scene when Dumbledore leaves with Fox, but doesn't say anything. Nobody addresses him. Nobody
knows who he is. It could have been just anybody. I mean, if you're new to the film,
glasses.
You would have no idea.
I mean, he was just as prominent in that scene as Dawlish was.
See without his
glasses.
Yes,
he was, John. Absolutely. Just as prominent as Dawlish.
I mean, so they could really pretty much interchangeably use Dawlish in these next scenes, because...
Oh, my God.
What's interesting, the feud between him and the family doesn't exist in the movie, so I guess they're going to have to introduce that. Maybe he'll try to show up to the wedding.
Not.
Here, John, you know, I need some help with the news. I need you to track down to find out, to confirm if Dawlish is going to be in Deathly Hallows. To have him around?
Gosh, yeah, I think we could definitely do that.
Okay. That will be your mission.
Do we want to contact, like, through, like, Richard Lee to see if he knows? Or
yeah, why don't you do that?
I mean,
you
do we
call
want
him
to
up.
Contact the studio.
You are the lone person out there that is the big Dawlish man.
You have to call up and say, dude, I'm your namesake. You have to come study me to get your part right.
Oh.
I know. I think what we should do is we should picket the Warner Brothers studios and just be like, save Dawlish, like the Free Dobby campaign.
Please don't remind me of the Free Dobby campaign.
And just be like,
I get cold thinking about
it. You cannot not include him.
What's the Free Dobby campaign?
Don't, no.
No. But I want to know, what would it be though?
Google it.
Dawlish for Deathly? I mean, what is our little slogan going to be?
I like Free Dawlish.
Free Dawlish.
he's not, okay.
But he's not in jail,
exactly.
Right?
But neither was Dobby at the time, so...
No, it's 5 to 20. You gotta take a bunch of people to TRL on a random day.
TRL is over, you know. It doesn't exist anymore.
It doesn't?
We'll go from MTV Studios, and they'll be like, what is going on out here?
Make sure one girl's in a towel.
They'll call me up there, and they'll be like, so what's this Free Dawlish thing all about?
And
they'll
like,
be like, Dawlish. He needs to be freed. And Lady Gaga's cool. And they'll be like, all right, we'll air it.
Dawlish and Lady Gaga? What? I'm going to start that rumor.
Mm-hmm. It's better than effing Kermit.
Kermit's awesome.
Mars, can we move on?
Okay. Let's
talk
about something more
fun. Kermit the Frog.
Kermit the Frog, but come on. If you want to date a puppet or a super cool aura.
I'm sorry, Kermit the Frog would be, Dawlish.
Yeah, Kermit's better. Sorry. Kermit wins. You don't even stand a chance, John.
I think Kermit would...
touched a frog?
I think
this
Kermit
is not a frog.
Even...
It's Kermit the Frog, okay?
Yeah, thank you.
I understand he's a popular frog.
Do you understand
he's
why he's popular?
Frog.
Because he's not...
Obviously
not.
So let's just move on. We can't have an intelligent conversation about us. Let's just...
Number three.
So let's talk about our favorite author. Let's talk about Miss...
Dan Brown?
Well,
sorry.
No, Judy Blume.
So
Judy Blume. No,
I'm very much kidding. I'm just annoyed that everywhere I look, it's Dan Brown, a law symbol.
Law symbol. What a disappointment. Okay, Joe has. She was at a Paris fashion show recently, and she said, she's quoted in the paper as saying she is working on something, but it's not Harry Potter.
Oh.
Mm. Well, she did mention, I mean, a couple of years ago that she was working on this political fairy story.
Political
remember?
Fairies?
But she said she had
political
two things,
fairies,
right? She had a children's, one for adults and one for children. So it could be either of those. We don't know.
Huh. I would love to see what she did with an adult book. I happen to think that Deathly Hallows is an adult book, so I'm curious. I'm curious about something that would be labeled adult.
What would consider it adult? Like
mostly they go by
themes.
Mostly they go by main character and with these things. So if your main character is 8 years old, your age range is about 8 years old. You know that's why Harry was a kid's book early on because Harry was 11. You know, and by the time he's 14, it's not a kid's book anymore. It's a YA novel.
Interesting.
There are other things that go into it, but mostly they go by like the main character. So if she's writing something from an adult's point of view, it's going to be an adult novel.
Yeah.
My Harry history is very often referred to as an adult book, even though it doesn't really fit in the genre of adult nonfiction. It's kind of more just related to Harry Potter. You know what I mean? I don't, when I see it in a bookstore and it's under, you know, adult nonfiction next to the serious memoir of the month. It just, it never makes sense
special
to me.
Interest.
Yeah. Well, it's usually under cultural studies, but that's a whole other ball of wax.
Cultural studies.
That always makes me laugh. I found it in sci-fi in London.
What?
Really?
Yeah, sci-fi. It was so funny. We had a bunch of leaky people together, and we were trying, because I don't own the British edition. I don't own it. It's
what?
Been a year. I don't own the British edition. My publisher has not sent it to me, my agent hasn't, and she hasn't sent it to me, and I'm tired of asking. So I was in London, and I was like, I need my book. So then I found one in a store, the first one we went to, and I didn't want to buy it. I just signed it and put it back. And so...
Oh, that's cool.
We went to another one, and we couldn't find it. We asked the lady, and she goes... It's in sci-fi. We all five of us at once went, what? It was pretty loud. So I'm sorry.
Funny.
Tangent that has nothing to do with what we're talking about. So let's go back to
Chicken Bones. I did want to say that you were talking about with an adult novel. She said, I need a hairy break. And if you remember, a few weeks ago, we heard from Ian Rankin that the last time he'd seen Joe, that she had been working on the encyclopedia, like her the... histories of the
okay,
family.
Can we talk a second about Ian Rankin? Can we talk a second about Ian Rankin?
Do it.
I've asked people about the Ian Rankin thing.
Oh,
He made it up out of his head.
What?
He made it up.
Wait, what's
he
going on?
He had not seen her recently.
I knew it.
He had not seen her working in the Scottish book. Maybe the last time they saw her, maybe, nobody's really sure, was when she was doing the tree
For the documentary thing?
Thank you. The documentary.
No!
He made it up. And he doesn't... It is exactly what we thought. I said, he just doesn't know. He just says this, and he doesn't know what he's doing to millions of fans. And they were like, exactly.
That's total BS.
Think of it in the
chat. Exactly what he was doing. Look how many people read that article about him and his new thing. He knew exactly what he was doing, or someone around
him did. That's so frustrating.
Yes,
it's so
that
frustrating.
Is terrible. You're right, Frankie.
I don't mean to think like he made it up, but all I was told is that there was no recent encounter in which she was scribbling, genealogy.
Can you imagine that? Like, he comes to the door just to say hi, and she's like, just a second, and she's like shuffling all of her papers of genealogies.
But seriously, does that sound like Joe anyway? Does it, honestly, do you think she's going to go sit in a cafe with large charts and obvious pieces of information, knowing what?
Yeah. She has a big dry erase board set up.
Exactly. You know? So, it was, I mean, if she's doing it, it's going to be on a pad of paper, quietly, and by the time when she meets up with somebody, she's not going to be like, hold on, let me continue.
You'll never guess what I was just doing. Please don't publish it in an article about your work.
Well, I would like to express my sincere frustration and disappointment in him. He went on a very serious interview on BBC Radio for the entire world and said this, and he wasn't joking around, and I took him to, and I feel very, I'm very upset
about
this. But
he said last time I saw her, and maybe that was the last time he saw her. Maybe it's, you know, people when they're kind of friends, kind of not... what kind of acquaintances they lose track. Maybe it was a year since he saw her, or legitimately saw her, and he did see what she was putting together for the documentary.
Gosh.
But then, no, that's been over 2 years.
Yes, it came out in 2007.
But anyway, there was no recent indication of her working. There was nothing that he could have legitimately brought away and said, oh, I just saw Joe, she was working on her Scottish book.
Chomping.
I can smell the green and silver seeping from this man's pores.
Nice.
I swear.
It's just a little, you know, like when you're being interviewed about your work, don't talk about
somebody
else's.
Talk about your
work. Right.
Don't talk about the most famous author in the world in order to help, you know. How many people, including myself, only know this man's name because he dropped J.K. Rowling's name in the encyclopedia?
No. A lot of people know him, though. I mean, he's pretty well...
I
know a lot of lit heads know him, but I'm not one. And I know thousands of other people who are Harry Potter fans aren't, and they heard about this guy. So it was very, very premeditated, and shame on you. I called it from the beginning, so there.
I'm still not going with premeditated. It's probably that they have a friendship, and everybody knows it. And if he's sitting down with a reporter, the reporter will probably like, so have you seen J.K. Rowling lately? And he, you know, is maybe a little absent-minded and says, oh yeah, last time I saw her, blah 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 blah. Okay. You know, I don't.
It's such a generous absent-minded thing we're giving him, and he's still putting out new work. I mean, he's not in a home.
I'm just not willing to label him Uber Slytherin. but I think he's a little careless.
Okay. I'll let you have it.
Maybe it's my hope for humanity. I don't know.
That sounds very Hufflepuff
of you.
Oh, thank you.
Here's kind of a good news, though, about Jo. She is going to be the first person to receive the Hans Christian Andersen Award, who is, as we know, is a wonderful author. He's wrote Princess and the Pea, a lot of the fairy tales that we all know, Emperor's New Clothes.
Little Mermaid.
You know, he's...
The Little Mermaid, which is a horrible story from Hans Christian Andersen. I mean, it's a beautiful story, but it's a very depressing story. It is not the Disney version, people.
Not the Disney.
He dies with the whole thing.
It's not the one where it's like, you know, Pretty Little Mermaid running around, wants to sing, and
no.
Has a good leg, hook up with the older prince.
Quite not. Nothing when you put it that way, John.
Nice.
Kind of gross.
Well.
Okay, come on.
Can I mention another award that J.K. Rowling should have won and didn't? Then we found this out recently.
What?
The Medal of Freedom.
Oh, gosh. That's a bunch of BS.
How disappointed. Oh.
What do you mean Medal of Freedom? What's that?
Okay.
Medal of Freedom is like the highest honor, you know, the United States gives civilians. Apparently they can give it to not just American citizens, but she was up for it, you know, a few years ago in the previous administration, and that administration decided they couldn't give it to her because Harry Potter promotes witchcraft.
Well,
we can't be seen doing that.
Paul Danger, Will Robinson, hold on a second.
Mm-hmm.
This is a capital R rumor.
Thank you.
This was in a book written by Matthew Latimer, who the previous administration has gone on record with many examples of him being dishonest. So there's that. Yeah, honestly. The line is not sourced. There's no real indication. It's a news story because it's a news. I mean, it has to be. It was getting picked up all over the world. But he says, basically about some other person they didn't give the award or some other version of narrow thinking, and he says it was this kind of thinking that led the administration not to give J.K. Rowling the Presidential Medal of Freedom because the book's promoted witchcraft. There have since been other people who have come out to talk about this saying, no, she wasn't given the award because the people who were given the award did such and such great heroic, you know, political blah 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 things. Whether or not that's true, probably, if she was up for it, she didn't get it, not because they actually think the books promote witchcraft, but because this was a Republican administration who has to worry about the Christian right, and maybe the Christian right would have been upset if it's at all true. You know?
And we should also point out that the Bushes were actively and openly Harry Potter fans. They even decorated the White House with Harry Potter decorations. Laura Bush has spoken many times about her love of it.
That's true.
And I find this whole story quite... I'm very dubious about the whole thing. Very dubious.
Fishy. The kind of thing you drop into a book on purpose to make news before the book comes out. You
kind of like...
Just like that Ian guy.
Well, Ian didn't pen a book for a year. And think every word wasn't crafted. Ian was just talking to somebody.
What was he promoting?
He wasn't. He was doing it. I don't know.
He was on the BBC radio just talking. I mean, it's just, you know, an interview. I mean, the BBC radio does a lot of like art and culture kind of. So I mean, he's a very prolific, famous author from the UK.
She lives near J.K. Rowling in Edinburgh, which I gotta tell you is not the most inexpensive, you know, area in the world. So
great.
I think he's doing okay for himself.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, I have other news. Can we talk some serious news now? This is kind of...
As long as you have some other news.
I do, and this is actually... And I really want to talk about this. Michael Gambon, who, as we know, plays Professor Dumbledore in the movies, we had some alarming news that came across the wires, and that he was very ill and had to step out of a play by Alan Bennett, who's perhaps one of the leading playwrights in the UK right now. And he was taken ill, and he's being replaced by none other than Richard Griffiths, who plays Uncle Vernon.
All the family.
Yes, which is really remarkable that you have these two actors of this caliber that can do these stage plays that are really good. But there was a lot of concern that Michael, you know, been taken to the hospital, and, you know, he was very... And he's not. He's just... His doctor says that he needs to just chill for a couple weeks. He's going to be okay. But he... And Mr. Gammon said that he, you know, would not be fair to the play. And that, you know, he thought that, you know, I mean, he was... Said if I'm not temporarily firing on all cylinders, you know, I mean, so. But he's going to be okay. He's going to be back as Dumbledore. He's going to be fine. But just need to make sure that was clear, that Gambon is going to be okay.
Cool.
Yeah.
Good for him. I hope we wish him health.
Yes, and speaking of health, we have a remarkable interview. I mean, I'm just, you know, I hate to use the word remarkable, but it really is, because we don't often hear from Dame Maggie Smith. And then she spoke very candidly about her battle. Very candidly about her battle with breast cancer and going through chemotherapy, and you know, her uncertainty as she could go back and you know, be on the stage again, where she's gotten so much acclaim, not just from her Oscar awards, but you know, it just was very powerful. She talked about when she was filming Harry Potter and the Half-Blood Prince, she was hairless. She said, "I was hairless. I had no problem getting the wig on. I was like a boiled egg."
Terrible.
I love her so much.
Yeah, me too.
And
I'm such a huge fan of her.
She looked a little ill in Half-Blood Prince.
A little frail, but you can imagine.
And that's so sad, because like, it fits the character, so you don't think twice. To be like, oh, she's kind of old and sad about Dumbledore and about the circumstances, but like, aww.
You know, but she's been given the all clear. We should stress this. The doctors told her at her last checkup she was all clear, and she was kind of joking around that she's going to stagger through Deathly Hallows, and she is going to be back in the movie. But it's just, it was really.
You got some big fun stuff.
You betcha, that whole death scene. I remember us talking to Joe when she said she can't wait for that scene with Joe and those deaths. That's going to be
fantastic. They better do that. Sometimes the brand of whimsy is what changes. They do it a little different.
I love that whole bit from when, like, they find Harry in the Ravenclaw common room. And
I want to see that so bad.
His butt a little bit.
Well, when she fights Snape, that's the best scene. I'm sorry.
Oh, right.
When he jumps out the window.
Like a bat.
Oh, gosh.
Yeah.
And she makes the knife of Hogwarts come alive.
Yeah.
Oh, yes. Oh, wow.
And then flanking down the hall.
Yeah.
Ah, I want to see that. You can just see that happening. See them all waking up and going off.
I want that to be my
fight.
Cue to start, you know, running up in my night costume to run down the hall.
Yes, doesn't McGonagall also fight Voldemort with Slughorn in his pajamas? The two of them are somebody just... Oh, and Kingsley. The three of them are dueling Voldemort?
Yeah.
That will be
the
awesome.
Three of them duel.
Oh, man.
Three of them on Voldemort.
I can't wait to see, like, you know, a duel where it's like one person dueling more than one person at once.
Yeah, she will be. She was just wonderful. And if you have not, we'll put the link in the show notes. But I encourage you to read this article for this interview, because it's so. She spoke about it, you know, the possibility of dying. She was very frank. You know, I mean, these are personal thoughts that you face your own mortality. You don't have to go and talk to the whole world about it if you don't want to. And I don't know. I was really inspired by this.
I was very as well.
And speaking of breast cancer, we are here at Leaky are doing something very cool, right, Melissa?
A bunch of Harry Potter sites were approached by a company that is run by a friend of ours. It's called Beemit, and the company has created an item, a glove that women can wear to increase the chances they will pick up a lump when they do their exams. And so they are... for every purchase made through Leaky, if you go to BEMITT.com/Leaky, every purchase, a certain amount goes to the Susan G. Komen Foundation. We are also, every site that's involved is getting $1 on every purchase. We are obviously donating all that over to the Susan G. Komen Foundation, and we're really excited about it. I just yesterday finished the walk that you guys all so generously donated to. Through podcast and through our YouTube channel, you guys helped raise more than $5,400 for breast cancer awareness and research. And we just did this magnificent walk in New York City. I have some videos. I'm going to put them up on the podcast channel. And I just want to say thank you. And I owe a couple of shout outs, and all the prizes are going to start going out this week. So keep an ear out for that.
Cool.
Awesome.
Well, that's all I got for news. I mean, I just think...
That's all?
That's
really?
It. Really, I know.
So much this week.
Good. No, sorry.
32 minutes later.
Jeez.
Sorry.
Oh. All right.
Let's do it.
See you there.
Harry Potter and the Deathly Hallows.
The Deathly Hallows! It's that chapter. God, we're not through this book yet.
Of course we're not.
We are. By the time we get to the epilogue, we need to have a party.
Is 22 at least halfway?
Yeah, 18 is halfway.
Getting there, slowly.
Yay, we're getting over the hump, over the hill.
Slowly.
All right, they got, they Hermione pulls her genius move, and Ron keeps calling her a genius, and they get pulled out of the love goods.
Yeah.
And Hermione, they just start running around throwing up hexes, because that's what you do when you're on the run, and you didn't know you were going where you're going.
Right, right.
He's being sarcastic?
No.
Oh, okay. I thought you were being sarcastic. Like, that's what I would do. I'm like, that's what you do. We're being so impractical. I'm like, no, that's exactly what I would do. I misread the tone. I'm sorry.
I misread the tone.
I was like, I'm really confused as to why you wouldn't do.
But they're talking about Luna and how she might be in Azkaban and whether she survives the place.
Oh, gosh.
Luna would survive Azkaban.
Too sad.
I know, that's what Harry says.
Luna would be like messing with the Dementors.
He would just be like, hi! And she would convert Dementors. And they'd be like,
what's your name?
She'd be like,
how long have you been working here?
Yeah, how long have you been working here? Consuming any good souls lately?
That's what I like about Harry, though. He does, he takes her, you know, her little kind of quirkiness and says that's her part of her strength. She's teaching them about the Raxperts and the Nargles, you know?
Yeah, she's teaching them about Raxperts and Nargles. No.
Of course. So I'm not hating on Luna.
No, I just think, but you were like, you know, it's funny. And I'm like, yeah, but that's part of her strength. I think that it was funny what you were saying.
Yeah.
But it just made me like, oh, that Harry was, I mean, it made me, you know, endear it. I don't know. I just thought it was kind of cool.
Do you think that the Dementors have, like, you know, like, intelligence and their own emotions, or are they just mindless, killing, sucking, you know, soul-sucking machines?
Well, they're grown out of death and despair and decay. I don't think they're actual functioning beings.
Yeah, they are, but they're evil.
You know, that's a good question, though. Do they have, like, a taskmaster or, like, a warden, though, warden of Azkaban?
How do you control the Dementors? I don't know.
Haven't we seen times where, like, they communicate with, you know, their people that are in charge of them? Like, taking orders?
No.
I think my vibe for them is they're like, intelligent animals. But they, like, their intelligence is curbed by their hunger. So, like, if they realize that, like, I think they were just smart enough to realize, well, Azkaban's the best place for us because we can get, you know, the most for our money, quote-unquote.
Yeah.
Or whatever the expression, you know. And then once like, Voldemort was in power, it was like, hey, forget this. Let's just wander and get people.
Right.
I think they're more, like, motivated by their hunger.
Oh.
And so, but then they can temper it when they need to.
But didn't Umbridge set them to Privet Drive? Was that Umbridge or Fudge? Who set them? I mean,
that was Umbridge.
So they have to be some sort of communication pattern somehow.
Oh,
right?
Yeah, for sure. But and I think that they listened to Umbridge then because it's like, yeah, we want to. That's great. You know?
Hmm.
So how did you guys, when I first read this, I was a little like, I can't believe he just tried to sell them to the Death Eaters. But then, you know, it's his daughter. How did you feel about this?
Oh, see, me the whole time, I was just like, I don't, what would I do? Like, I would love to think that I, but I wouldn't. At the same time, it's his daughter. Like, it's just, how can you turn that off? You know what I mean? Like, there's a logical part of it, realizing that even if they get Harry, Luna is still going to be gone, probably.
Sure.
If you have that abstract hope, that probably just mars your judgment.
I just realized that Xenophilius is like the Jack Bauer of Deathly Hallows.
How's that?
You just realized that. You said it in the last week's episode.
Yeah, exactly. I'm like, what?
I did?
People are like, you really did? Because I just heard that 5 minutes ago.
Really?
Wait, what?
Yeah, you've said that before, but I want to know your reasoning behind this.
Oh, my brain must not be... I don't think he's really. I just think it's funny, because every 5 minutes in 24, it's like, I'm going to kill your daughter unless you give us a terrorist.
Like, no.
Oh, that's too funny.
So, every 5 minutes. It's if you watch 24, you don't get through an episode without some sort of threat on Jack's family.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
So they're all freaking out a little bit too about the fact that they were spotted by the Death Eaters, like particularly Ron, right? Who was supposed to be sick and home. And
but Ron wasn't spotted because he was underneath the invisibility cloak. Boom.
Oh, touche. You were right.
So Hermione's all, the three brothers, tell three brothers, it's a story, it's a children's story, it can't exist, it cannot. And Ron's all, well, the Chamber of Secrets.
Right.
Yeah.
Harry's invisibility cloak.
What about that stone?
Yeah.
Yeah, because they thought the Sorcerer's Stone could have been the stone for a while, didn't they?
I don't know. He said something about, like, what about the Resurrection Stone? And I just rethought, maybe it was the way I was reading it. And I thought, oh, they're going to flash onto that somehow. Because you didn't know at this point where all this was going.
Well, Hermione's like, well, what about the Resurrection Stone? There's no way to bring somebody back. There, I win. And Harry's all, well, you know, it's my wand. You know, in the graveyard. And Hermione's just, like, losing the fight. Poor Hermione, with all her reason, gets totally
She doesn't like to lose fights.
Hermione's, like, getting, like, a migraine over there. Like, stop it. It's not happening.
She fires the bird spell at him just because she's frustrated.
She stings his face again just because she wants to. Wait, did that happen yet? No.
This is what happened.
Wait, the Snatchers didn't happen yet.
No, they didn't get caught yet. They got caught in this chapter, as a matter of fact. Well, then they start talking about the Peverells, which is the first real discussion we have of the Peverells. And we learned that they're one of the earliest pureblood families, but they're extinct, apparently. They're not, supposedly, have died out. Just the name.
The name. Now, at this point, Harry already lost his wand, right?
Yeah, he's got the black
wand. Yeah, and do they remember that they saw that graveyard, or no?
Yeah, they're talking about it.
Yeah, the Peverville.
That's how it comes up, because this guy who's buried in Godric's Hollow, what do you know about him? And Hermione's all, well, I looked him up, of course.
When?
In my bag of library, and I found the name in Nature's Nobility.
Bag of library.
Yeah, my library bag, and I'm carrying
it
around.
You know what I find interesting,
though? Library of Congress in there, yeah?
That the book that she found him in, she borrowed it from Creature.
Oh, the Nobility book?
Yeah, it's not pureblood families. So.
That's nothing you're going to have in the main library, because I can't imagine that would be a ministry-approved book, you know?
Or a Dumbledore-approved book.
Or a popularly accepted. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And Harry finally gets it. He finally puts Peverell together with Marvolo Cawn, which we all have been screaming about since the name came
up.
And Harry, in his normal, you know, I'm going to get to it in 10 chapters, guys, way. He goes, aha! Marvolo Cawn.
You know, I love the Gaunts, and I wanted to know more about this. So I was still flashing back to that whole nobility book, and I'm just like, do you think we'll ever learn anything more about those families? Do you think that'll be in the Scottish book? I mean, I know it sounds terrible about the purebloods, but I really want to know.
It's so funny. It's like talking about an entire universe that we're like, well, I don't know about this. What about this? Yeah. What about this? What about the grandfather? What about this? What about that? And, God, she could be writing it forever. Yeah.
You know? It's totally true.
Well, I think there's a chance we could get some of them, because they're direct lines descendants of Salazar. So I think we'll get...
You think she'll have huge entries for the Founders?
Are Peverell's descendants of Salazar? I don't think so.
Wait,
Marvolo Gaunt is.
That's what that's what she was talking about. Gaunt.
I thought we were talking about the Peverells.
No. We don't...
Yeah.
Do we know where the Peverells come from? I mean, we don't know.
No. Definitely not Gryffindor, otherwise Harry would be an heir of Gryffindor, and that theory would have been right.
What if he comes from Merlin?
Who?
Yes, John, I'm sure that's it.
I would kind of like the fact that...
No, F you guys, Merlin is in the books. The Order of Merlin.
He is in the books, but I just can't see her making the top of her genealogical tree a character from another...
Yes, I just...
And Merlin travels backwards in the timeline, so...
Didn't he get, like, sucked up into a tree or something?
We're totally not even in about the Deathly Hallows. Not even.
Well, I had a point when I brought that up, when John got freaked out about Merlin. I was gonna say I would like to think that, you know, Harry was great on his own accord, but the fact of making it even more, like, they had established that the Peverells were, like, they were a talented bunch, and he comes from, and I think the fact that Harry comes from, like, the humble brother is more remarkable than the fact that he has magic, because it wasn't the brother's magical talent that had him defeat death. It was his humility. And that was even more powerful, because he was wise enough to be humble and ask for the item that would help him avoid death rather than not avoid it, but
he was a true master.
You know what I mean? Like it was his humility and his wisdom that defeated death, not the fact that he was, like, powerful or anything significant. And that kind of goes with Harry's little battle too with Voldemort at the end, because like Voldemort, you know, fell on his own sword.
Well, this is now the point of the story where Harry starts having those thoughts. Hallows or Horcruxes, if he was to combine, his head starts, he says, as his imagination races ahead, as he starts to come to grips with the idea that the stone is real, the wand is real, that he knows the cloak is real, that neither can live while the other survives, the last enemy that shall be destroyed is death, and he starts to think, well, if I could put them together, who cares about Horcruxes? And that's where this whole central Horcruxes versus Hallows, Harry's maturity versus his immaturity plot comes in.
I agree with that. And that was really eloquent what you just said, Frankie, too. I want to go back because it is, ultimately, as we learn later ahead, I don't want to go skip too far ahead, but it is true. I mean, it is his choice, and he willingly accepts with his grace and humility, he accepts that death. He chooses that. You know, it's like, okay, if I have to die, then, you know, and he wasn't afraid to go on to that whole scene in the Force. So I thought you just said was really powerful, Frankie. I don't know. And you're right, Melissa. This is where we do start to see his Harry's thought process and his pattern of willing to understand about the Horcruxes and what you can do here. Forget about the Horcruxes. I mean, this is kind of actually, you know, the first time I read this chapter, I wasn't like overly impressed with it. But now that I go back and when you guys are talking about it, I'm okay. Very good point. Carry on. Sorry, I'm just like that was good.
Well, Harry becomes a believer.
He
becomes a total believer right here.
Yeah, it's just kind of like, huh? I've seen it in a whole new light. Okay.
It's very good. But it starts to all, like, click together.
Yeah.
You know, the cloak is so perfect, as Harry starts to realize. It's no matter what spells are cast at it, he stays invisible. Then he remembers that Dumbledore had the cloak and that his parents died. Then,
oh, right.
So Dumbledore killed his parents.
He did it on purpose because he knew that we need somebody to kill Voldemort eventually. So I'm going to screw up Harry's life.
Honestly, you think that Voldemort couldn't sense their presence. It doesn't stop them being solid. If Voldemort knew that's where they were hiding, entering the house, he would find them.
He could have been, like, behind a couch with a cloak on. And,
whoa,
you know,
behind a couch.
Would find them.
I didn't think of that.
What? Come on. What?
There's a simple spell that even Hermione knows how to use. It's Hominum Revelio or whatever. You don't think Voldemort's mastered that?
And that works against the cloak? I guess.
It says there's a presence in the room. It doesn't tell you. It doesn't reveal them.
Oh, so that could explain, too, about Mad-Eye.
We've been getting a lot of emails about that, Mad-Eye, actually. I think we should revisit the Mad-Eye situation later.
I don't know how can we revisit it, because how else can we address the subject? He sees them. There's no, like, arguing about it. He sees Harry.
No, but he very specifically says the kind of socks that he had on, like, as if he saw the socks. And at the moment that Mad-Eye is looking up at Harry, it was around that exact same time, Harry slips through the stair that you can sink through. People are like, that's how he saw him, because he can see through cement and everything.
No, that's
so
not
he
when
saw...
he says nice socks, John.
He says nice about socks
at the Yule Ball when he's not wearing the invisibility cloak.
Yeah, right, I know. So afterwards, when he sees him, is when, you know, he talked about, you know, socks.
What? He says nice socks at the Yule Ball. He doesn't look through the invisibility cloak. He looks through his clothes, which is really creepy.
I'm saying he was wearing the same socks.
Right, so here we go. I love his laugh.
Do you think Mad-Eye runs around everybody and comments on their underwear? I mean,
it's got to be boring after
well,
a while.
It was Barty, so it's okay.
But what do you mean
he
the same
evil.
Socks?
He was wearing the same socks that night, so when his foot slipped through the step, Mad-Eye saw him then too.
No, what?
I do remember them saying
that's
something about socks.
Almost word for word an email we got.
Well, how about what the book said?
Oh, snap.
Well, you know, the book
Did
didn't write
the
email.
Before,
the book didn't write the email. It's not that powerful.
I don't remember there being any dialogue around, well, he's wearing the same socks, so clearly.
There doesn't need to be dialogue, it's implied.
It's implied?
Harry doesn't change his socks very often.
No, he doesn't bathe or go to the bathroom at all, ever. Right?
No one in the school does.
We got an email about that once, too. Do you remember, Melissa? Why don't they ever take showers or bathe and stuff, go to the bathroom?
They scourge it by themselves.
They take baths because in book four, that's actually the redeeming thing about... Wait, no, I like the book. Not, I was thinking of the movie. Never mind.
Well, but
you love bubble bath. That's why you like that
part. Shut up.
That makes the whole book for you.
Every time I read that section, I was like, I want to go in that bathroom, sorry.
Okay, now you sound creepy.
Okay, we're way on topic again.
I'm trying. Here it is.
Uh-oh.
It's where he gets stuck. Halfway down the staircase, not thinking about what he was doing, not concentrating on anything but the peculiar behavior of Mr. Crouch, Harry's leg suddenly sank right through the trick step. Neville always forgot to jump. He gave an ungainly wobble, and the golden egg, still damp from the bath, slipped from under his arm. He lurched forward to try and catch it, but too late. The egg fell. Harry snatched at it. The invisibility cloak slipped. Harry snatched at it, and the Marauder's map fluttered out of his hand and slid down six stairs where, sunk in the step above his knee, he couldn't reach it. So, what does this have to do with socks? Nothing.
But his foot was what was...
Above his knee, he sunk in.
So his whole lower leg was then visible to Mad-Eye.
Yeah, his whole lower leg. So there's no...
Well, the point is the fact that his body wasn't underneath visibility cloak anymore, but it was on the floor.
Yeah, so
and
he wasn't seeing through the invisibility cloak. He was seeing it through the step.
Oh.
Right.
Interesting.
It's just amazing how the detail...
Yeah.
Because she had to have that thought. Well, if he can't see through the invisibility cloak, there has to be a way that he can see through the step.
That's true.
Yeah.
Obviously, the invisibility cloak wouldn't go down the step, you know?
Yeah.
Oh, no, but you know what? It actually says it right here. Moody could see through invisibility cloaks. He alone could see the full strangeness of the scene.
Why?
Which is bullcrap, because we don't know about...
But then again, maybe Harry just thinks he can, and he can't.
Yeah, that's just Harry's inner dialogue. He didn't know about Deathly Hallows back then.
Wait. Is that a third-person omniscient, or is that Harry thinking?
It seems to be a third-person, but I don't understand where he gets the idea that Moody can actually see through them. Like, he had to have been convinced at some point.
It happens earlier in the book.
Mm.
Not the Yule Ball. He's not wearing, unless he was even a worse date than we thought, he was not wearing the invisibility cloak at the Yule Ball. How do we know that Moody can see through them?
I think we're woefully rusty on our Goblet of Fire.
Serious? Look
how
we've been discussing Deathly Hallows since the dawn of time.
Dawn of time? That's a little much.
We need to figure this out. All right, we'll figure it out.
We will.
I'm sure we'll get emails.
Well, that would be good. We'll do a mailbag. We'll do an extended mailbag on Mad-Eye's cloak thing. That'll be one of our big questions.
Yeah.
We'll tackle.
Oh, hey. Moody says it can see through invisibility cloaks. I just found it.
He actually says
but
that.
But then again, Moody's a liar, so count it.
Wait, yeah, because at that point, he's not Moody. He's Barty. Or he's
Barty
Crouch Jr.
It's a magic eye. I'm thinking that was, like, a true statement. Like, he can see through invisibility cloaks.
Hey, I'm sorry to keep interrupting, but I just went back a page and I realized something else. It really, Frank, you're right. It really can see through it. He sees Hermione sitting at the booth, at the Three Broomsticks, and he comes over to them and says, "Nice cloak, Potter."
Oh, that's right.
Why are we destroying our mailbag segment right here in the middle of the
episode? Well, because we're supposed to know these things, and I'm embarrassed that we don't, so there.
Okay, fine. I think that's the end of Bit by Bit.
Yeah,
I think we destroyed that one pretty good.
The drums, and you know, I have to bring this up, and I know Frankie wasn't with us, but you know what, and by the time this airs, October 19th, 2007 was?
Frankie's first show?
No, it was the day we got to talk.
Oh my god,
Yes, we got to meet Joe in New York City!
Oh, I remember that.
2 years ago already?
And that was the day she cleared Helga Hufflepuff. I was thrilled.
No, she didn't.
No, come on.
Well, if you were me, she did.
She continued the debate.
Yeah, and if you were John,
for sure.
She loves continuing the debate. She's not gonna solve any.
But it was so great.
I just hope that the encyclopedia comes out and it's still ambiguous as to whether or not she enslaved the house elf.
I think it's relative to your definition of enslaved.
Made to work for no money or
no money or gratification.
But she says.
Well, gratification is arguable, John. They like it.
They do enjoy it, yeah.
But so neat. Frankie, did you get to see her when she was on that tour, when Joe was on that tour?
No. Everyone I was with that day.
Frankie, weren't you with us in L.A.?
Yeah. Everyone got to see her but me. And I was like crying, like, oh, she cried on my hands and now my hand grows petals. And then I was like, I got a rock. Womp womp.
Hard to believe that Joe was here, though.
I'm writing that show
I'd
note
say
down
it's
too.
High time for a return.
I think so.
She could stay with me and Moochka. I know she's hard up, you know?
Oh, I know. She needs...
You think she gets along with cats? She has dogs.
I think she would get along with cats. I don't think she's a cat person.
Yeah, she's not a cat person. She said that in a few things.
Let's be clear. I mean, no one will get along with Moochka unless they spend, like, two consecutive weeks
feeding
her.
I get along with Moochka fine. She just doesn't get along with me.
That's true.
I'll leave my mooch girl alone. She was very confused this month, enormously confused.
Aww.
I kept having to take her back to my mom's because of all the stupid stuff that was going on in my apartment.
Too
oh, yes, your bug. Your bug adventure from...
Yeah.
Oh.
Poor cat. Every time we came back after tour, then I had another trip, and then another trip, and then the bug thing, and then another trip, and the poor cat just kept going to my mom's, and she had no idea what was going on. So leave her alone. She's having a hard time.
Yeah, because she's hearing us right now, crying in the corner.
Leave me be.
She
has terrible self-esteem issues.
You don't want to hear something funny? Speaking about cats, you know Luna, my parents' kitten?
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
She plays fetch.
No.
My mom recorded it, and if I think about it, I'll try to upload it on our channel today. Like,
do
play
it.
Throw
do
the
it.
Ball.
I bet she's so big. Is she getting
you
big?
No, actually, she's pretty small for a kitten of her age. She's not going to be that big of a cat.
Oh,
but she plays fetch. You throw it, she runs, gets it, and brings it back. It's ridiculous.
She was the cutest, man.
I think it's you, Frankie, because when you came to my house, you did that with my Bella, and she played fetch with you. I remember that.
That's right. That
you.
Was fun.
I think you are the cat whisperer. You have these powers over cats. I think
so. Thank you.
You gotta conquer Mooshka, though, man. She's still fighting it.
But she kind of likes me. But then
she
screams like
really
a banshee if I hold her too long.
She warns you by swiping to get away, and then you don't get away, and so she's forced to actually scratch you.
Right. She likes you in that she likes the smell of your blood kind of way.
John, shut up.
As it hits the air from her nails scratching you.
Like Edward Cullen.
So Jingle Spell 3 is moving along.
Oh, yes, please give us an update. We get so many emails about that.
The submissions are coming in, and...
good.
Is that going to be done before the live album?
No. The live album's being mastered as we speak.
Okay,
yay.
Hear that, everyone? Let's repeat that.
Yeah,
tired of the emails. It's being mastered.
Yeah, I'm tired of emails too, but I don't blame them because
well.
It should have been out a long time ago, but
okay.
This is just our fault. We've just had a long, very long, crazy time of it. But basically, we're going to have like a Uber Christmas package of things you can buy for people. So.
Nifty. Like that.
And it's all for charity because we love doing that because it's fun.
Mm-hmm.
And that's it.
Excited.
Cool.
So are you going to sing this year on Jingle Spells?
You guys are cute in your little synchronicity there. That was adorable.
Nah. What? What do you mean? I don't know what you mean.
Me sing. Uh-huh.
We want to hear you sing.
We should do the Pottercast Quartet or something like that, like a barbershop quartet.
As long as I get a voice double, we're fine.
Oh, it'd be funny.
No, you guys did fine. We can do that. You could say, John! John! Every 2 minutes. That
yeah,
would be
that's
good.
All. That's all I'll do.
John! John!
Make a techno song.
Yeah, that we could do a rap kind of thing. No,
the ministry guys involved.
Yeah,
pretty funny.
John,
nice.
Ministry would be like, hey.
That's not all we do.
Speaking of witches, you guys should keep a lookout for our friend Darren Criss on Eastwick. He made his appearance this week.
He's on television.
On television.
Watch out.
Cool.
Darren Criss, by the way, plays Harry in Harry Potter musical, whatever that was called. Very special. What is it called
the
now?
Potter
Star
musical.
Kids something. Is it?
The Very Potter musical. That's
no,
what's
HP
their
musical,
Star Kids thing?
The
is that their Twitter? What is that?
That's their company or like their troop or whatever.
Frankie, that's really exciting.
Potter Kids.
Sorry.
Yeah, go on.
It was so weird seeing someone like I know on TV. I'm like, I know him!
I haven't seen it yet. Is it on YouTube?
That's on Hulu. Go to Hulu. Or,
it's on the Hulu? Okay, good.
Hulu or ABC.com.
I have too many television shows already. But I will watch it to support Mr. Chris.
Support the Wizards.
Is that show doing okay in the ratings? Are they going to keep going?
I don't know. Mm-hmm. I should ask him. He'd probably know.
Yeah, I would bet.
John, are you here? You're awfully quiet.
No, I'm here. I'm sorry.
It's worried. You're up to something, up to no good.
I am in this kick of drawing Poison Ivy and Harlequin right now.
What?
I don't know if you guys care.
Mm.
From Batman, two villains. But like,
that's okay.
I just drawing them right
and
now.
And they haven't even came like recently into pop culture again. Who's talking about Poison Ivy?
No one. I'm just drawing them.
Is she going to be in the newest Batman movie? Do you think?
Oh, I don't think so. I hope not.
Riddler and Poison Ivy.
Riddler would be cool. I want to see Riddler and Catwoman. That's my selfish movie.
I heard that they actually casted the Riddler already. It's going to be Ricky Gervais.
Don't say that.
No.
No. Awesome.
Stupid.
It would be stupid, but he's so funny, though. But he would
he
not
funny.
Be.
He's funny. I like him, but he's making nothing.
I heard you didn't like the new movie, Frankie. I haven't seen it yet, but...
I did not like it, but I probably didn't like it for bias reasons. I thought it was very disrespectful.
Is it, like, crude humor?
No, I think it's disrespectful to people who have a religious belief of any sort.
Oh, right. He's so hardcore atheist, isn't he?
I mean, it's not even, in my opinion, not to delve into the subject, it's not even intelligently challenging it, because I'm fine with that, you know, whatever. It's just blatant kind of make fun of, go around the playground telling people Santa Claus isn't real type of attitude. I'm biased, so, like, it really marred my point of view. And as a storytelling, like, you could have gone really far with the whole not lying thing, which is really cool. But his character arc as an individual was interesting, and I liked. Like, his character's arc was, like, his character's journey was interesting, but I was biased, so, like, yeah, I didn't care for it.
Mm. I'm confused.
I haven't seen it yet.
What's the name of this movie?
Invention of Lying. Mm. It has a lot of, like,
that would be fun for us to review movies at the end of every podcast. I'm just thinking that, like, we should pick a movie every week. I love movies.
The last movie I saw was the two Toy Story double feature thing, and
I want to see that. I want to see it Wednesday, I think.
Oh, was that good?
Yes. I love those movies. I do. And just to watch them again on the big screen like that was amazing. Wonderful.
Now, having, like, with the more recent computer animation stuff, does Toy Story 1 look all rudimentary?
I think they re-rendered it, Frankie.
I thought it looked really, really good.
I haven't read an article about it or anything, but I would have to think that they could go through all those old files and just re-render everything with, like, newer, better textures and lighting and everything, yeah.
I was really impressed.
Unless I'm crazy, unless they just left it alone. But
they for the stereo. So it makes sense. Yeah. They would, why not kick up the, if it's just a filter they can run, why not do it? Not a filter, but
sure.
I don't know, maybe because your eye is much more trained than mine, but I thought it looked very vivid on the screen, and I was just... Plus, I hadn't watched those films in some time. My son is a little bit older now. He had moved on past them, but now we're both, like, kind of rediscovering again. I just thought it was marvelous. I really enjoyed it. Plus, the trailer for the third movie just looks out of this world. I can't even stand it. That's my recommendation. But I think it's going off theaters. They only put out for a couple weeks. But there we go. That concludes my movie review.
Bum, bum, bum.
Bum, bum, bum.
All right. Well, then.
Okay. Boring. Who cares? Okay.
Not boring. I'm just not able to participate.
What's the last movie you saw?
I love Toy Story.
I know. I wish you...
Can't wait for number three.
Yeah. So, Melly, what's on the... Are you going to stay home? Are you done traveling for a while?
I want to just sit here. I'm so tired.
Where are you going?
Moving.
Are your feet still puffed from your walk?
Between walking all around Manhattan and then... I had a bunch of trips that had to happen recently. I'm going to be actually in Virginia on October 23rd. I'll put
the
info on
there.
Dune speech.
Oh, fun!
Dune speech.
Still a fight on Harry Potter.
You're going to have to be careful to keep Dolly out of there. Or not Dolly, Ooh. But Leanne or Sue Ann. What was your name?
What?
Jodie.
What was your southern name?
Jodie.
Jodie.
That's it.
Jodie. Judy Jean.
Jodie. Jodie.
Terrible. Virginia, not Alabama.
Virginia's getting there, though.
Virginia's right on the line.
They're right on the line.
If Tennessee is considered southern, Virginia's, like, on the same...
No, there's, like, northern Virginia, and it's different. This is Fairfax. This is, like, D.C., Virginia.
Oh, okay.
Well, you should have a good crown for that, then. That'll be...
I hope so. I need to make a post on Leaky. I always forget. Sue always reminds me, Melissa, the news says you're doing this thing.
Melissa,
don't you make a news post?
Kermit Austin, sister like Kermit. Melissa!
I told her I should be your publicist. You gotta hire me. Come on.
With all my money.
Yeah, that's it. Well, you know, with your Porsche and, you know, your Maserati zooming around and everything.
I forgot. I should cash one of those.
You do have 18 apartments in New York just for every day.
I do. And each of them are four floors, and they make the Trump Tower look
that's
like
right.
a small studio in Soho. But yes.
Soho.
Yeah. Oh.
Soho. Actually, Soho's really expensive, I must say. But, yeah. And then November 3rd, I'm somewhere. And November 10th, I'm somewhere. And November 23rd, I'm somewhere.
Are
just,
you in
you
California
know, just,
anytime soon?
No, it's all East Coast stuff.
Is there anything that we need to go to New York for anytime soon?
I know. I'm going to go.
Come here whenever you want.
No.
My birthday. You guys can come in for my birthday.
Ah, that's right. When's your birthday?
Oh, my gosh. New Year's.
27th. 30.
She's a Christmas baby. Almost Waiting. Christmas. Post-Christmas.
I'm 30, and I get to spend most of my time about Harry Potter. So that's pretty awesome.
I want to commend the Ministry of Guys, too.
Commend?
Not the the ministry guys to do a Total Eclipse cover.
Oh.
And
oh my god, that was awesome.
Make a dance version of it.
Because like Mark could just blow that away, like one little soul. They could each do turns with the souls, and Mark would just. Oh, that would be awesome.
Rocky tonight.
Got in my heart.
All right, we're flagrantly off topic.
Yeah,
we have to go.
What topic is there ever in the drum?
There's no topic, but we're flagrantly over time.
Committed, so. Flagrantly.
So, all,
love
all
your
all
words, the sweet stuff.
Terrible words. Well, well. Until next time, guys. Keep trolling those dials.
The next password will be singing naked.
What?
All of our passwords are phrases.
I can't even continue now. I'm confused.
That's a lascivious little password.
Ooh, lascivious. We're all SAT today. Keep each other safe.
Keep faith. Good night.
Good night. We've missed it.
W3.
I confess myself disappointed.
Now, if you don't mind, I'm going to bed.
Great Scott, no wonder. Look at the time. We've been here nearly 4 hours. Spooky how the time flies when one's having fun.
I'd be really curious. Hopefully the Scottish book. I'd be really curious to find out.
I hear she's working on
more.
It.
Shut up, Frankie.
Funny.
Oh,
go call
gosh.
Ian Rankin and ask him.
Seriously. John will call him out.
Oh, he probably knows. Oh my god, that's what we should do. We should just, like, everybody should
start
ask him their questions now.
We should have a whole section ask.
When's it coming out? How long is the Quidditch chapter going
to
be?
Oh, we should call into him and just have someone do a British accent and he'd be like, yes, and the purple is actually red.
Scottish, not British.
The purple's actually red.
There's no British accent. It's a bunch of different accents. Oh, that's funny.
Ask Ian. I love it. That's awesome.